This is Terry Fenneman. Today is June 29th, 2020. I am interviewing Wes Brown, publisher of The Daily Record in Little Rock, Arkansas, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So Wes, why don't we start out with you telling us a little bit about your background in journalism?
Okay, I've been in the news business for now more than 30 years. I actually grew up in a little town called Hope, Arkansas, kind of same as President Clinton. And I started out as a stringer, a football stringer at age 16. And that was 42 years ago. Then I went to school at Jonesboro, Arkansas State University. And my first job after I got out of college was at the Tulsa World, a newspaper in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A lot of things are happening now with the riots and Black Wall Street. I wrote about that. That was some of my experience. Also covered the Oklahoma City bombing. And from that point, I went into business reporting, which I never thought I would do, but that was a perfect fit for my career. And since then, I've been in, I was covering the oil and gas industry, which is big in Oklahoma. And I've been a financial reporter since then, covering everything from every sector of the economy, economics, business. I still love to write about oil and gas. My first job as a business reporter with Tulsa World. After I left the Tulsa World, I went to worked on Wall Street with Bridge News for about 3 years as the international correspondent covering the oil and gas industry, OPEC, ExxonMobil. That was a period of time when there was a lot of mergers. And then Bridge News was purchased by Reuters, the international wire service. And I was reassigned or lost my job. And I came back to Arkansas where I worked for Stevens Media, which had just purchased Dunray Media, which was the large rural publication owned by Donald Reynolds. I worked at their main headquarters in Springdale, Arkansas, as the state business reports, business editor in Arkansas. And I did that for several years during the period when there was big growth in Northwest Arkansas with Walmart, Tyson Food, and J.B. Hunt's. And then I came back to Oklahoma, not Oklahoma City, but Little Rock, where I was also work at the Capitol Bureau covering business and politics here in Little Rock. And then, as you know, over the last 15 years, during the consolidation of the news industry, Stephen Media basically went through several iterations with, I think, Gatehouse bought part of it. They sold off a large part of the company. They were owned by the Little Rock investment firm, Stevens Inc., so they was selling off major parts of it. So I went into the private sector for a few years, working for Alltel Corporation, which was also consolidating, was purchased by Verizon. Then worked in a few other corporate jobs with Transamerica Life Insurance. Then I got back, after about a six-year stint in the corporate world, I got back into news business with Talk Business and Politics, which at that time was a startup news publication, online publication that's just focused on its name, Business and Politics. And now, today, Talk Business and Politics is one of the larger news organizations in the state of Arkansas. I worked there as the senior business and political reporter during my tenure there for about 6 years. And then last year, I was hired by the Daily Record as the publisher. Daily Record is the longest, the oldest business publication in the state of Arkansas. So I joined them back in November, and we've been pretty busy since COVID changed the way we do things. So that's kind of a picture of my long and varied career in the news business.
Yeah, and because it's so interesting, I'd like to delve into it just a little bit more before we talk about the pandemic. So you mentioned that you covered the Oklahoma City bombing. Tell us a little bit of your memories of working as a journalist covering that.
It was just one of those life-changing things. There's two state newspapers in the state of Oklahoma, the Tulsa World and the Daily Oklahoma. And I was, on the day that the bombing happened, I was just, an editor called me at my apartment and told me to get on the road to Oklahoma City. I got on the turnpike, which is about a 90-minute drive to Oklahoma City from Tulsa. And when I got off the turnpike, you could see a smoke plume in there. I thought it was a nuclear bomb, but it turned out to be the bombing, the site, and it was just chaos. The city was in chaos. And over the next month, a month and a half, so the Tulsa World had its entire staff. We rented a Winnebago or a big van for our new staff and our photographers, and we were just down on the scene for several weeks, just at the center of everything. It was life-changing for everyone involved.
The Oklahoma City bombing has been labeled in journalism history as really a pivotal moment as far as, kind of the push to the internet taking off. Do you remember anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at the Tulsa World, we basically, when the internet came around, we just first had one internet computer in the newsroom of more than 150 reporters and photographers and staff. And we all had to, when you want to get on the internet, we all had to go to that one computer. You didn't have it at your desk. And you still did legwork when you wanted to do research. You went to the courthouse to get court records. You used the various, phone books, things like people don't even remember. You didn't have use of email. So you made phone calls, you interacted with people. So yes, that was a change. But at that time, like you mentioned, the internet came in. And that at that time, we began to use that research to I think a lot of the tracking down of the terrorists in that situation, the domestic terrorists, was using the internet and using this evolving technology that really changed the way we were doing things. And also, one of the other things at that time that came into play was digital photography. The Tulsa World was actually the first newspaper in the United States to go where we went totally digital. There were ethical issues that we had to ask ourselves in the change, with a photo on a computer, how do you manipulate it if you change it? So those ethical questions were really right in our face at that time. So just, every reporter, photographer will tell you in Oklahoma that incident changed their lives. So, after the Oklahoma City bombing, I couldn't just get back to covering the city beat. It was difficult. So that's why I got into business, because it was totally different than what I was covering. And it gave me a change away from the pace of what I was covering. It was totally a transforming situation, internet and in every other way too.
Could you expand a little bit on what you mean by how it was totally different?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some of our reporters who covered it all the way to the Timothy McVeigh trial, and I occasionally continued to cover stories on that. And like I said, the one thing that it did, it made a reporter know that this may be every reporter is looking for that great big story, that big story that defines their career, and when it happens, you kind of feel, you feel depressed, because you kind of in your mind, you realize that this may be the biggest story that I ever cover. So how do you make that pivot in your career to adjust to that? Like I said, I went into business, and lucky for me, it was the greatest thing, because I love business. I never thought I would be a business reporter. I didn't even read the business pages at that time. So for me, I was lucky, but I've seen many of my colleagues that came out of that period many of them not in the news business anymore. A lot of people after that, they got out. And as you mentioned, the internet came along and it continued to change the business. And a lot of my peers, with the consolidation and the way we did news, it changed the way and you had to. I mean, I've had to completely several times change the way I do things. People call me, an internet guru or expert in internet or online publication, but I had to change. I had to adapt to the way the internet changed everything. So, some of my colleagues couldn't adapt to that.
So, what is it that you like so much about business reporting?
Just the diversity of coverage. My first job was covering the oil and gas business, the integrated in Oklahoma at that time. Tulsa was actually the oil capital of the world when I started coverage. And most of that has moved down to Houston now. Houston is now considered the energy capital of the U.S., but Tulsa had that first title. And during the time I was there, I got to cover oil and gas. And I was told this early in my career that if you learn the oil and gas business, you can basically cover any aspect of the corporate world, publicly traded companies, because all companies like integrated oil companies, huge companies like Chevron, Mobil, ARCO, BP, Shell Oil, they have every part of the corporate world in those companies. They're huge companies. And I made it a point to learn that. And now, you know, I love economics. I cover the stock market. I cover the Federal Reserve. There's not an area of business reporting that I'm not comfortable with in covering. So, and it is, and it actually made, even though during the period at the Tulsa War, I covered some politics and going to covering politics is actually easier for me. I enjoy covering the business world and what I did when I came to Stevens Media and worked at the Capitol. I was able to be the first reporter in Arkansas to kind of combine coverage at the state capitol where the intervention of business and politics, and I was happily to land with a publication called Talk Business and Politics that focuses on those two things that I feel very comfortable with in writing about.
So you're at the Daily Record now. What is your newspaper circulation?
We have about 10,000 subscribers, and the Daily Record is one of we are known for our legal notices that we publish, all the foreclosure notice, bankrupt notice, all the death notices, any kind of legal notices where you have to go and it has to be filed public. You see those in the newspaper on Sunday. In Arkansas, all the other newspapers buy those legal notices from us and purchase those. And we also have a business with law firms. That's the legal notice side of the business. They hired me to, over the last 10 or 15 years, with the change in the news business, with consolidation, they had lost a little bit on the editorial side and their coverage had went down. Also, they have a kind of a niche focus on the real estate and the legal community. And since my experiences, I know those two industries well, I was able to come in. But I've also, since I've been there, added some other areas of business coverage that are unique to Central Arkansas, such as government, being Little Rock being the capital, but also healthcare, energy, and other areas of that are, when you look at the labor statistics, that are key for the Central Arkansas economy.
And how many people are in your newsroom?
We have four people, right? I mean, on the editorial side, but we also have in our legal notice, we have three people also. Before COVID, I had also had about 7 freelancers, but we've kind of paused that part of the business since COVID. And me and our CEO are having conversations now about, when do we go back to because of course we were impacted financially in terms of revenue, in terms of advertising once COVID hit.
So you mentioned your CEO. Who is the ownership of the paper?
We have Mark Nichols, who's was actually an attorney in Little Rock. He's the owner, and our CEO is Bobby Burton, who handles a lot of our legal notice side of the business. And they contacted me several months ago, back in late 2019, and said, "Wesley, we need someone to really bulk up our editorial coverage." And once we had that conversation, I was comfortable with coming over and making those changes and coming in and doing more in-depth and more enterprising business news coverage.
When did the impact of COVID-19 start with your newspaper?
I think it was, the first positive coronavirus case in Arkansas was, I think, March 11th of 2018. But I think if you, you look at around that time, that's when and also there for us specifically, the President Trump made, there was a moratorium on foreclosures. And that's a big part of our legal notices business. So that directly impacted us. So we felt that when that was the first big, wow, this is going to be huge for us. And then there was talk of the CARES Act package, the relief emergency relief package, the $2.2 million CARES Act that was passed. Once that happened, and once information started coming out about that, we really kind of pivoted our coverage to be a resource for small business community as for COVID-19 related news. In fact, we've become experts on the Paycheck Protection Program and all the parts of the CARES Act that affects the small business community, the healthcare community. So we had to make that pivot, and our coverage is still, we're still kind of in that phase and writing about COVID-19 and our cover stories, our features inside. We're getting back to some other additional story, but COVID-19 continues to dominate.
So going off of that, how has your newsroom adjusted their routines during the pandemic?
Well, I mean, we were, when I came there in my conversations with Bobby Burton, our CEO, he has a philosophy of just being flexible with your workers and having a flexible newsroom. So what I put in place is that we were already at some points working from home. I didn't have any problems with my reporters and staff working from home. We already had our design page designer. She was working from home, and the two reporters that I work with now that I told them, I just want you to be able to do your job. So when Arkansas is one of those states that didn't mandate social distance or stay at home orders, they strongly encouraged it. It essentially was a mandate. So in the first few months, after the first case in Arkansas and the cases started ramping up, we were all working from home. And then over the last month and a half, I come into the office just because I want a break. I come in the office about twice a week, but I don't, and my reporters come in once or twice a week, but I tell them, you work where you're comfortable as long as we can get the stories done and we can get out and do. As you know, in this Zoom kind of virtual experience, that we do a lot of our work with Zoom and other type of I'm a reporter, and I still, as a publisher, still like to get out and report and write stories. I love to get out and talk to people, but having to adjust to that ingesting to that, to where we're using Zoom phone calls and going a little bit back where we want to make sure that the reporters are safe and comfortable during their jobs. But that's one area where we had to change, but also just in the number of papers that we publish. We usually have a run of about 10,000. We've cut that. First we cut it down to 5,000, and now we've cut it down even lower at that number. We also changed our, some of our deadlines for copy, just kind of being more flexible for our reporters. And because we have to sync up, even though we're working from home, we still have to be synced with each other on what we're doing. So in a lot of ways, it's and I think some of those changes will stay in place for a while. But going into it, we already had a flexible office environment, so our adjustment was not as great as some newsrooms have to go to, especially those who require the reporters to be in the office.
Tell us a little bit about what the pandemic is like in your community and how many cases you've had so far.
Actually, before you call, I was writing a story, I think, trying to remember the number. I'm thinking it's right at 30,000 in Arkansas confirmed cases and about 250 deaths. But over the last, since we've gone through our phase, we had a phase one reopening, which was, I think, around June 1st. And then the phase two, which really impacted most of the business reopenings, restaurants and things, shopping malls, that happened on June 15th. And between the first and second reopening, some of the cases were actually coming down, the number of cases. But since the June 15 reopening, we've seen record numbers. We've had a spike of 4,000 cases in June. And even as we speak today, that those number of cases have not what you call flattened out. And so there's conversations. Our governor holds a press briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson holds a press briefing every day. And he talks about the issues, I know there are some concerns that the number of coronavirus cases is continuing to go up. In fact, on this past weekend, our Little Rock's first Black mayor, Frank Scott, announced Little Rock to be the first city in Arkansas to mandate that you would have to wear a face mask in public. So those changes are taking place. And I although the governor has not gone that far, and he has, and been on national TV and locally stressed that he doesn't want to mandate that you wear a face mask or to mandate these social distancing policies. He just wants people to do it. But there is some talk that may be a step, but I mean, knowing Governor Hutchinson, I still think he want mandate that I think he'll hold out and keep this policy in place where he encourages people to wear a mask and be at safe distances and social distancing policy, but I don't see him mandating that.
Talk about how you've personally adjusted to being a journalist during the pandemic and having to juggle your life and your career and how the number of hours you work every week has or hasn't changed.
Well, when I was with Talk Business, over the last, we talked earlier about the changes of the internet and the consolidation of the news industry. Well, when I came back in the news industry, I created my own basically LLC, where although I work for Talk Business, I actually worked for myself and I was a contract labor for them, even though I was full time. That allowed me to change the way I did everything. I worked for myself, so I worked from home. I worked my own hours. I did the, I, You know, even though I talked with the publisher and everything, he basically said, Wesley, you go out and do the stories. I was a state capitol reporter here in Arkansas, and we talked business and covered both business and politics. So I basically had my own beat, did my own thing. So the adjustment when COVID-19 came, is I was already pretty flexible in the way I did things. So my adjustment hasn't been that great. I have a nice setup here at home. I have a home office that I've been working from the last, probably last 9 or 10 years now. Even when I was with the Daily Record, even though I was going in the office, coming back to the office was easy for back home was easy for me. I know I've talked to people. A lot of people say they would love to work at home, but when COVID happened, a lot of people couldn't make that adjustment. It was difficult for a lot of people. So for me, it's been pretty easy. And now I'm just going back to the office a few times a week. But the adjustment hasn't been that great. I will say that, you know, there like I said earlier, some of the things we've had to adjust for is Zoom. I'm sick of Zoom now. I do Zoom with my family. I do Zoom at work. I do Zoom with friends, and those adjustments in your personal life are different. I'm an outdoors person. I'm a former marathon runner. I love to run. I walk. And I'm older now, but I can't do. I can't get out. I love to play golf. I can't. You know, you have to make those adjustments in your personal life. But as far as journalism, it hasn't been that a big of an adjustment for me. In the way the hours I work, but just adjusting to how you do things and getting things done. That's the biggest change.
So let's compare and contrast in regular times how often you published compared to how your new strategy has changed as far as print, online, and social.
We haven't, you know, one of the things that when I was hired the Daily Record at the end of, I was already implementing changes to, you know, we were talking about changing our web page and doing more social media. So we were in the midst of those changes. So we kind of paused some of the things that we were doing and focusing on the print publication and focusing on our niche audiences. So we've had to pause some of our plans. Also was planning a new kind of advertising push as publisher on the outside, the editorial side of my position. And I've had to pause some of those plans too, because we are unsure of how the business community is responding. And some of them have paused their purchases of online media and print media, so you have to change those. So we're adjusting on that end. And now there's talk of possibly a second spike of COVID cases. So, you know, we're having conversations, me and Bobby, of what's going to happen, what's ahead, and how do we plan for that? And I think I talk to other people in the business, and the thing is, there's nothing that we can compare it to. You talk about compare and contrast. There's nothing that I can look back and see in the past that I can say, okay, we did this way in the past, and then we can adapt now to that. It's new to everybody that we don't know. So making those adjustments is sometimes difficult because you don't have any past examples. And this is, you know, the word you hear all the time is new norm. It definitely is a new norm of the way we do business. And some of the things, the way we did things in the past may not be the same. We may not, I think virtual remote offices, interviewing people virtually, using other technologies to get the story done. And I think the reporter in the newsroom has to be able to do everything now. They have to be I do TV, I do radio here. People call me to talk about economic things and political things on radio and TV. So you have to adjust to what's going on and be able to do pretty much everything. I still think the foundation of being a journalist is being a good writer. But now you also have to just to be able to, you know, take pictures on the scene, to be able to go on social media and post a tag, and be able to do all those universal things around your stories.
Have you noticed any spikes in your online traffic?
No, and you know, one of our things is we're trying to create a more vibrant internet presence, web-based presence, and that's something that our print publication, unlike a lot of media, our print publication is still our main focus. So we don't get the online traffic like a regular newspaper. Our business, because of the legal notices and things that we publish, people like to have their hands on the publication, but they also can go on our online site and be able to get that same information. So our print and publication kind of work together. Unlike, you know, so like when I came from Talk Businesses, even though we had some business journals, our web presence was mainly where we did daily news, and we were able to do that. With the Daily Record, I don't envision, you know, going, we're still a weekly, so we focus on being a weekly and not trying to capture that daily news cycle that you know, sometimes is the focus. I know some weekly publications do that now. With the web presence, they're able to do daily news, breaking news, and things like that. But we haven't made that venture yet. We could in the future, but right now, the model that we have is working for us.
So running a business-focused publication in the business industry has been terribly hit by this pandemic. You mentioned pausing freelancers and cutting back on circulation. Talk about the financial toll that your newspaper has seen as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean it was immediate. I think, with our Arkansas Press Association, we... all the publishers in Arkansas came together and held a conference call with our congressional officials when they were talking about the CARES Act and putting in place the CARES Act is $2.2 trillion that came to help small businesses. And there were some targeted funds in there, but there was no funds that were set aside for the news or a publishing industry. So we've had to adapt. Like I said, you know, we paused we paused our freelance and they did a lot of work for us. And we also, we're a 24 page publication. We're now down to 20 pages. And at early on, we were actually talking about possibly going down to 16 pages. But we settled on 20 pages and we've been able to be steady at that. We've also, had to, furlough some hours. We've cut back one day out of a week in terms of dealing with finances. We've also, just as many small businesses, we've also accessed some of the CARES Act funds that are out there and to remain a viable business, because as you mentioned, advertising revenue is down significantly, and our owner has been very good about saying we want to keep everybody on board and not have to go to layoffs or anything of that time. So I it's been difficult, but we seem to kind of have level off and seem to be at a kind of manageable state right now.
So you mentioned becoming an expert on the Paycheck Protection Act. What are some of the other biggest stories that you've covered related to the pandemic?
We've covered the one of our big industries here in Central Arkansas is the healthcare industry, and we've written about how with them being on the front lines, but also looking behind the scenes, how financially, how it's impacted those businesses. And that's what we've tried to do. We've looked at different sectors. We've looked at the real estate industry. We looked at the legal community. We looked at government, because Little Rock is the state capital here, so you have a large government sector here. So we've looked at the different sectors of the economy and focused weekly. We try to find the different sectors that are key to Central Arkansas. We also going to look at the aerospace industries, which is big in Central Arkansas. And now we've also looked at as we go through these different phases of reopening, we are looking at how companies are, especially restaurants. We did some pieces on in a couple of weeks about how restaurants are dealing with the reopening and how they're adjusting to those things. So we've been really focusing on looking at different sectors of the businesses in Central Arkansas that are key to our economy, and focusing on looking at those businesses and how they're impacted by COVID-19, looking at their financials, and looking at how they are impacted. We also have looked into the issue of labor market. In Arkansas, there's been about 400,000 jobless claims, and our unemployment rate has jumped over 10%. Although it's not as bad as the national numbers, it's still a large impact, and that's a story that we'll continue to follow. And also being one of the lone few Black journalists and lone publisher in the state of Arkansas, I've also seen, you know, the impact of COVID-19 on the Black population, and especially looking at the healthcare part of it, being directly impacted, but also the job numbers. A large portion of the jobless claims, the unemployment numbers, are Black, African American people, poor people in lower socioeconomic status. So looking at those kind of stories. So we kept there's no limit to the number of business stories that I think, when you looked at the sectors being impacted, business and healthcare are essentially the two major, you know, the front lines of what's happening right now.
Looking kind of broadly, how do you see the business model for the journalism industry changing as a result of all of this?
Well, I still think, you know, even though COVID-19 has come, I think it exposed what was already happening with the consolidation in the news industry, with the internet. You were already seeing before we went into that. When I was with Talk Business, I did some stories on the new Census Bureau numbers that came out showing that in Arkansas, I think the numbers were, a decade ago, in our industry, the publishing and newspaper industry, there were around 8,000 jobs. That number has been cut in half the cost of the internet. In Arkansas, you've seen the company I used to work for, Stevens Media. They owned by, like a lot of news industries, have been purchased by venture capitalists or hedge funds or corporations, and the first thing that they look at is the bottom line, is being profitable. So the decisions that are made sometimes are not in the interest of the newsroom, and we are seeing that in terms of number. Arkansas, what is happening in Arkansas is that most cities, small rural towns, had a newspaper. You don't see that anymore. Most of the city small rural newspapers are gone. There are a few still left, but they may be family owned. Gatehouse, which is a niche, they have a few, but they've also cut significantly in areas. And some of those newspapers may have one reporter that has to do everything, has to do business, has to do sports, and then they have to do it online. But what I do see is an emerging kind of a online where where former journalists are going and starting their talk business, which is started out as a blog, is now a statewide business publication that covers Central Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. Roby Brock, who's the publisher over there, has done a great job of morphing, and he also has TV on his website. They do we do video, they do social media. So they found their niche, and I think that's what's going to take place. You're going to see niche publications, niche online publications, kind of come into interview. And COVID has just exposed those things, and I think it would just quicken the pace that that happens, where publications have to find their niche and be able to do things. Another part of that, that piques my interest because I'm a Black, and I've always, a lot of times, been a long Black reporter in the stops where I have gone in my career. And Black media is no longer, all the Black newspapers that were in the United States, they're gone. They have all gone bankrupt. Not just, and all the national Black publications have gone bankrupt or been purchased by larger companies. BET is owned by Viacom. All the large Black, Johnson that did Ebony and Jet, they've gone bankrupt and sold off most of their assets. So Black publications and you know, I have an interest in I've started a small venture where I'm doing some publication, a newsletter that just covers the business end of the Black consumer. And that's something that I've been doing as my own venture. But I see that because that niche is missing in the news media. There's not much coverage on how COVID-19 has impacted Black consumers, how Black businesses didn't get any of the PPP money, things like that. And I think those stories are important. And also, especially with George Floyd protests that are going on right now.
Have you been assigning reporters to cover any protesting in Arkansas?
Well, we have been, we've covered kind of the business ends. I've written columns about it, but we haven't had the muscle to go out and cover it on a daily basis because of what happened with COVID. And, you know, I support, you know, what's happening in our daily newspaper going out and do that, and the publications that can do that. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, as a publisher, I have to look at it and say, yeah, I want to cover that, but I also have to look at it from a business standpoint and say, that's not our niche. And that's, you know, when there are going to be stories that fall into our lap dealing with the business side of that, how and when those stories do come around, you definitely we will be doing those stories. But I think that's more so because I think one of the things that is happening is the corporations, how are corporations responding to the Black Lives Matter movement? How and in Arkansas, you haven't seen the movement that has taken place in nationally. We're starting to see some of that. And I think a lot of times a trend that happens nationally doesn't filter, takes a little while for it to feel down to Arkansas and the rural communities in Arkansas.
You know, one of the things that Ashley at the State Association pointed out in our talk was the pandemic has really made clearer the lack of internet access in rural areas of Arkansas. Is that something that you have noticed as well?
Well, you know, we're here in Little Rock, so Little Rock has, you have all the major players, AT&T, Comcast, suddenly they're in this market. But when you go outside of the Little Rock market, I'm from Hope, Arkansas, which is down 90 minutes from here. And when I go down to visit my mom, yes, that's an issue. And that's a well-known issue. Governor Asa Hutchinson has talked about that, how Arkansas is well behind. And, you know, one of the stories we've been covering that has gotten lost in all of this that would likely have been one of the largest stories if COVID-19 hadn't, that's the Census Bureau count that's taking place. And one of those, that, you know, that's one of the issues that, that is being talked about in those hard to count areas. Those people, you, and Arkansas is behind on the Census Bureau book count because a lot of those communities can't go online and do the Census Bureau application, you know. And, you know, it only takes a few minutes to do, but Arkansas is behind the national trend. I think right now it's at 60% of the people in the United States have responded to the census. In Arkansas, it's probably around 55 or 54. And I don't see, unless, you know, the pandemic ends and the Census Bureau workers are allowed to go out and canvass those communities, I think Arkansas is going to suffer because of that, because of the lack of internet access.
What changes have you noticed with your reader base during the pandemic?
You know, one of the things, like I said earlier, we pivoted to COVID-19 coverage, and one of the things, like I said, we became a kind of an expert in the PPP program. A lot of questions, a lot of controversy around that program. So I was invited to a panel discussion along with the SBA Small Business Administrator for the state of Arkansas. And after it, he said, "You guys know as much about this as we do." So, you know, we made ourselves so, and now we have a resource page that we publish every week, and people come and find that information useful for them in making decisions about their businesses. We've also, have pivoted in a lot of other ways in our coverage. In terms of saying, you know, as a publisher, you have to make a decision of what's important and what's not, and right now you have to weigh the COVID side of things a little bit more heavier, but being that our readership base was kind of founded on the real estate community and the legal community, we've looked at doing, you know, stories that were of special interest to that audience, which is a large part of our audience. So, you know, we've done recent stories and are working on a story on the commercial real estate industry. You know, what's happened in larger markets is that some big tenants have just said, "We're going to stop paying rent." Or so that's a big issue. The story, an evolving story, the real estate market, which generally drives the economy, that's going to be a big story that we'll begin to develop, you know, the second spike. If that happens, what then next? And, you know, and also there's a lot of talk of now of a second round of stimulus money. And that's starting to hear, you know, in political circles that is probably going to happen in the next few months, especially as the numbers spike. So I think, you know, this second spike is really going to continue some of the same coverage that we had to pivot to in late March and in early April. And I don't see, you know, for the foreseeable future, I've never seen a story where, you know, I've seen stories like September 11, like Oklahoma City, that for a time it changed your coverage. At the Tulsa World, we had a special page on the Oklahoma City bombing. When September 11, a lot of newspaper pivoted to that coverage. But this has the potential to impact coverage for the foreseeable future and possibly years down the road if there's not a vaccine. So it really causes you to try to figure out, you know what's important to the reader even more so now than you did in the past.
What changes to your newspaper operations during the pandemic are you most ready to see just done?
Oh, it's Zoom. That's an easy one. I hate Zoom. No, I hate to. I love sitting down with people because something about, even if you're seeing people, there's still something about, you know, face-to-face communication that's that's the lifeline of what I mean, as a journalist, I've always enjoyed that part of the business. And as a publisher, I'm still, my foundation is a journalist, even though I'm involved in other aspects of the business. The other thing is, you know, just the total coverage on COVID. There's other important stories out there that you want to get back to, the stories in the non-related COVID-19 stories in the healthcare sector. There were things that were going on in the economy that were important before COVID-19 exposed it, and you're writing about that, but you always have to put in a COVID-19 angle within those stories. For instance, there was a big merger, a breakup of the largest that we're doing this week, of the largest commercial real estate firm in Arkansas. And alone, that story was a strong story just standing on its own. But you have to go in and also ask the COVID question: how is this COVID-19 impacting your business? And then, you know, there's other interesting angles of it. You have to what I'm having to do is the way there's other interesting angles of the story. Do they outweigh the COVID impact? And when you write, you have to consider those factors. So, you know, that COVID is always the elephant in the room now. There's no story that doesn't have a COVID-19. We have an intern that's working for us this summer, and he's writing about sports. And he's doing a story on how the state sports, collegiate sports, are impacted by COVID. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the day when I can write a story and not include the word coronavirus or COVID-19 or virus or anything related to it.
How has the pandemic influenced your views of the role of journalism in society?
Well, we've always, I think the news reporter and the news desk and the editor have always, I think it's weighing, the pendulum is swinging back to, you know, to our readers and to our audience and to the public in terms of determining what stories you do. And, you know, I think the pendulum swung way too far in the other direction of where the newsroom was saying, these are the stories we did. This is how we do a newspaper. We do the front page. We do sports. We do business. We do entertainment. We do certain sections. And you go across the country, every newspaper looked the same, except for the stories they did. You had the same sections. I think that's going to change. I think and a lot of that's COVID related. But as I said, the newspaper industry was undergoing an evolution anyway. COVID is just speeding those things up, and I think those changes are we can say they're COVID related, but I, as you and I know, and you study in this industry, those changes, many of the changes that are taking place, were already underway. The business model of the newspaper industry, the old model is gone. You're starting to hear in Arkansas that the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which is our state newspaper, is now, I'm one of their subscribers, so I read my Sunday newspaper on an iPad. You know, that is shocking to me. I'm a person that loves to sit down and read the newspaper, grab my coffee. I love to get the Wall Street Journal, off my porch in the morning, the New York Times. But now I don't have any paper subscriptions. I don't. So obviously, COVID-19 is speeding up the move to online publications. We are kind of isolated. We haven't fully gone over that, but we are moving that way. You know, I don't know the day when it'll change where we will be totally web-based, or if we will be, but that's the way the industry is moving.
What do you want readers to know about journalism right now?
You know, I, as a black reporter who's been in the industry all my life, and going through this issue with Black Lives Matter, I think the importance of diversity in the newspaper industry is one of the columns I wrote in the last few weeks was about this issue, about how we, you know, that question has always been in the news industry since I've been out there, but it's never been answered. It always have to, you know, the same questions, but nothing has changed. And I think while we're changing, and while we're going through this evolution that's been caused by COVID-19, that's been caused by the internet, been caused by the change in ownership, and caused by so much that's going on in the industry, we have to nurture young people that don't look like us, that haven't had access to the news industry, get them interested in it, so you can be able to tell a story from all sides and not just from one point of view. And the need for that is so important right now, to be able to have more than one view. It's kind of like, you know, being a Christian, I look at the Gospels. The four Gospels are the same thing, but they're told from different point of views. And they both, all four, bring a rich understanding of the picture that's trying to be painted. And that's what is needed in the newsroom. I think the way we've lost some readers, and we've lost some of the integrity in our business, is because we didn't have that adversity. We can go out and call someone a racist, but we haven't looked at our own industry. We call someone that you haven't done this or you haven't done that, but we haven't looked at our own industry. I would like to see that change in our industry, and like to see more people of color, more people that are more women executives, more movement in the industry where it's not dominated by the same people and the same bosses.
What do you want journalists 100 years from now, who may be covering a new pandemic, what do you want them to know?
That being honest, keeping your integrity, being true, being honest, being a good writer, being diligent, being ethical, are things that don't change as a news person. I think those are the values that, if you go back 100 years before today, when you look at great journalists, good journalists that are able to get the story, they all have those same values, those same issues, and their search and their curiosity for the truth. And I think that's the one thing that won't ever change about the news industry. If it does, then it won't become news. It won't become news anymore. It becomes something else.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I will end with just saying that this, you know, in the last, you know, in my career, I've gone from being a traditional newspaper writer where we just wrote with our pen and pad and covered things, and that's how we did the story. But in the last 10 years, I think I've the one thing that has happened, the pace of change is quickening so much, with internet first, then social media, and we don't know what the next thing is going to be, but those changes are happening very quickly, and it's both frightening and exciting. And frightening in the way that you know, when I came back to Arkansas with Stevens Media, when I was with when I left the Tulsa World, those were newsroom, urban newspapers that had, you know, large staffs and large, and now that's changed. Warren Buffett owns the Tulsa World. The Daily, you know, like I said, the Democrat Gazette has changed the way it does business. So the pace of change is for the news industry. I know people out there who who are thinking about getting into the business are saying that may not be. But if you are, if you want to be a journalist, I say jump in, and it's an exciting business because if it gets in your blood, it's a wonderful avocation and a vocation that you want to get in.
Okay, this is the conclusion of this oral history.